Hello, Cinefans. I'm Kendall Kruver, and this is Watching Classic Movies. My guests are Linnell Siebold, Executive Director of the Ava Gardner Museum in Smithfield, North Carolina, and Laura Stocker, a longtime volunteer for the museum who has served as a social media consultant and board member. We talked about what the museum has to offer, both as a physical and virtual experience, including the many ways the museum celebrates Ava Gardner and unites fans and collectors from around the world. Welcome, Linnell, and welcome, Laura. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having us.
We're thrilled to be here.
So, of course, the very first important question is, what is your Ava Gardner origin story? What brought you to Ava Gardner as an actress and to the museum?
For me, I really enjoyed her work in some of her movies. I for some reason, was very drawn to just her persona on film. She had this certain I know everybody talks about the sort of sultry quality, but she also had a very real, down-to-earth quality that I enjoyed. But I didn't know too much about classic movies or anything. It just was a movie that, you know, I would sometimes watch with my mom. She was a fan. And she was kind of always in the back of my mind as one of my favorite actresses. I loved Elizabeth Taylor. I loved Audrey Hepburn. I loved Ava Gardner. And about 8 years ago, my husband and I made the move from San Diego, California to Smithfield, North Carolina. And on our very first day in town, we drove through the middle of the heart of downtown Smithfield, just taking a look at our new hometown. And we drive by the Ava Gardner Museum. And I'm like, I didn't even know there was such a place. We have to go there. I love Ava Gardner. Well, you know how life gets busy and you're moving, and we just never went. And I decided I wanted to find a little part-time job, maybe. And my husband was looking on Craigslist for things near where we live. And he comes to me and says, they're looking for a bookkeeper at the Ava Gardner Museum. You should go and apply. And I did. And this was probably about a year and a half after we had moved there. And that was the first time I had walked through the doors.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, of course, I was excited to be there. And I was really lucky. The same docent that we have today, Sarah, was the one that showed me around. And it was like, I thought, oh, I really want to work here. This is such a great place. And I got lucky enough to get the job. And they just have not been able to get rid of me since.
Oh, I love it. So Laura, what's your kind of beginnings with Ava Gardner and what brought you to the museum?
Well, I feel like I'm a native North Carolinian, and you know, those of us who are born and raised here try to know our history. We're very proud of our stars, Andy Griffith, Ava Gardner. So, you know, but I will say that when I was an infant in the crib, my mother used to sing songs from Showboat to me. For whatever reason, they aren't really appropriate children's songs. Can't help loving that band of mine and you know, that Bill and all of those songs. But for whatever reason, my mom would sing those songs to me. I think she just liked that film. And so I feel like Ava Gardner was always looming, you know.
Yeah.
And I was very, very close to my grandmother. And she was born in, you know, at a time where, you know, at the infancy of Hollywood, you know, early Hollywood and classic Hollywood. And I was kind of obsessed with everything she was obsessed with. And she knew she was a teenager and a young 20 something when so many of the classic films that we revere today came out. So she would talk to me about, you know, I was 4 or 5 years old, knowing who Fred Astaire was and Ava Gardner, all kind of she loved musicals. So all of the big MGM stars were very much in the ether. And again, my family, you know, if before TCM started, and I'm a sort of a TCM kid, it came around when I was in late elementary, early middle school, somewhere in there. And so, you know, anytime a classic movie would come on, my parents would say, stop what you're doing. Let's go sit on the sofa and watch this. And, you know, we'd be cuddled up under blankets watching Madam X with Lana Turner or something like that and crying. And I didn't totally understand what I was watching, but I would cry too, you know. And Ava Gardner was in the mix of that. And then my family relocated from a little closer from the coast, a little closer into the Johnston County area. And of course, oh my gosh, Ava Gardner's from Johnston County. There's a museum for her. So I went to the museum for the first time when I was a teenager. And And it was just like, wow, this is so cool that there's a museum to a Hollywood star who I like her films and happen to really think she's a great actress to boot. And so the museum was always kind of in the background. And I was always very proud of, you know, sharing when I became friends with other classic film fans, you know, like, we got to go to the museum, or we got to, you know, Ava Gardner's just from down the road. So, and then in 2019, I was looking for an opportunity, and I'm a graphic designer and artist, illustrator and all of that. And I was looking for an opportunity to do a little more volunteer work. And I had not even really thought about engaging with the museum in that way. And then Linnell had become director and we connected at an event. And I was like, do you need somebody, you ever need some help with social media or anything, like a volunteer? And she was like, yes. And so I started volunteering kind of in advance of one of their special events, and it went really well. And Linnell and I just hit it off immediately. And then I ended up having like a meeting with her and another person who was a docent and also helping with social media at the time, and kind of gave them some pointers and some thoughts about how things could ramp up or be, you know, really target the classic film community, which I'm a member of and like to, you know, be a part of, a participant in that social media space. And so I was like, you know, here's how you can talk to these people, here where they are, and let's, here's how you can tap into that and build your audience organically, you know, in a way that's truly authentic to the museum and letting people know that you're here, that you're the source of all information about Ava Gardner. And Linnell turned to me at the end of that meeting. She was like, what do I have to do to get you to join my board? And I said, ask me and I will. And so she did. And so I joined the board in August and then have served my full term, and now I'm transitioning into kind of their, they have an honorary board, and I'm transitioning into that where I'm still involved and but am more kind of targeted in what, you know, when I assist. And social media is a passion of mine, and we Linnell and the collections manager and one other person who that same docent who had worked at the museum that I first met with. We all worked together on the social media strategy and the blog and writing and all of that, and doing a lot of stuff I never thought I'd get to do or never really thought about doing. Mm-hmm. And it's been so rewarding, and getting to work with Linnell is just icing on the cake with all of it. So
the Instagram account is just fantastic. I mean, it's something I follow as I would any devoted Hollywood account. It's so entertaining. And it does give you a window into the museum, but I am still so curious to know what the experience of walking in the doors of the museum is, like what you can expect as a visitor, basically.
I think I can answer that. What we really try to do, when you first walk in the doors, it's very bright, it's very beautiful. We have a lot of costumes, which are probably the most popular thing that we've put out in our artifacts would be the costumes. But we also have a lot of other things. We have jewelry, and we have purses, and we have hats, and we have shoes, and we have posters from all of her movies. We have certain dedicated exhibits to certain parts of her life, and those exhibits rotate. But for us as a team, the most important part about walking through our museum doors is that we want you to leave feeling like you know who Ava Gardner really was. And we are lucky enough, and Laura and I are blessed enough to be able to work very closely with family members. I have a couple of family members on my board. We also work very closely with the trustee of the Ava Gardner Trust, and she and her daughter are direct family members, the great niece and the great grandniece of Ava Gardner. So we have an inside window that we use to make sure that the stories that we're telling are accurate, true stories about who Ava Gardner was. And if you leave our museum and you have questions about what was she really like, then we haven't done our job. And I really think it's important that if you're going to do this, then you need to present who this person was beyond being a movie star.
Right.
So that's what I hope everybody walks away with.
So you get the full picture. Yeah, that's exactly. That's, so costumes, jewelry, what of the collection do you two love the most? Like, what are you most drawn to?
Well, I'll just piggyback on one thing that Linnell said, and Kendall, I'm sure you're the same. When you travel, you're trying to find film things, and that, you know, if there's something nearby, oh, I want to go see this or go to this museum. Right. And of course, you've just produced this wonderful book that I'm so excited about, that will be a wonderful resource for myself and all the other folks who travel and are classic film fans. But a lot of different, you know, there's a lot of different ways that these museums that are similar to our museum work. Some are very fan-driven and very focused on the career, and some are very focused on the personal. As Linnell said, because of the way that our collection has kind of developed over the years, it started as a fan kind of collection and then expanded where we were able to get artifacts and things donated to us from family members and close friends, as well as doing being strategic about the acquisitions that we make. So we are able to tell this full story. In that, you know, when I first went to the museum, I too was like, well, I want to see all the costumes. And of course, I'm always going to geek out over that, especially when you can see them up close and personal and see all the detail that went into these just lavish costumes and how well preserved they are. I mean, that these, you know, these are from the late 40s, you know, all the way through the 70s and early 80s when she transitioned into television. I mean, we've got basically the full scope of her career represented in what we have, either in our permanent collection or what we've been able to get on loans with different collectors and things over the years. But that was always what I was drawn to first. But over time, and getting to work on exhibits and work on projects around the blog and all of that, I am so drawn to the personal artifacts, the things that show her handwriting or the ways that she would keep things, you know. And she loved to store things in manila envelopes or little folders. And she would write on there, like, you know, she would have a collection of photographs from Pandora and the Flying Dutchman, let's say, which is one of my favorite Ava films. And she would have it in an envelope and she would say Pandora, she would say the year, often the director and her castmates, and then she would write me. And I just love that because it's so, I don't know, it's so unpretentious and it's so intimate and it's just, and there's the casualness to it and all of that. And I just think that's such an insight into who she was and how she perceived herself. So those little artifacts that have those kinds of elements to them, that we can see something true that's true to her, that's away from the glare and glamour. Those are the ones that I have become more drawn to with doing more work with the museum.
And do you find that the visitors to the museum are responding to that personal element?
I'll let Linnell chime in on that. And of course, Linnell, yeah, shared your favorite artifact too, but it's interesting because I think when I've walked around the museum with people, and we've had friends and bloggers and other people come, especially at the festival time, and I would say, you know, they would see everything and be like, I first was, you know, blown away by the costumes. But then when they took the time to see these artifacts and see, like, isn't this neat that she does that, then people are really blown away. Those are the kind of artifacts that have been really impactful on social media, because we can isolate that artifact and show, you know, here is this envelope and here is how she's, and we can explain that and it be in, you know, in a singular presentation of just that thing. So when we've done live tweets about her films, which aired, of course, in December for her birthday on TCM, we would share a lot of pictures of here's the envelope where she kept her promotional steals from the film or her script or whatever. And people really did respond to that quite well. So it seems like those resonate particularly well in the virtual space, where we can really tell that story and isolate that one thing, as opposed to in the museum, there's just so much to absorb. So it's more when you're going on a second viewing or when you're taking someone around and really pointing out, like, see the significance of this, that it resonates a little more. At least that's been my experience. Linnell may feel differently, but I'll let you chime in, Linnell, on that.
No, I totally agree. I think one of the things that came out because of the pandemic is our ability to sort of pivot to more of an online presence. And, you know, there's always that feeling of you don't want to give away the store, but we were in a position where nobody would come in, would be able to come. We were closed for 6 months. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we had a flood 3 months later, and then we were closed for another 5 months.
Nothing damaged. Nothing damaged. Just carpet.
No just damage carpet. To any of the. It was all carpet and baseboards, and that all had to be replaced, the flooring and all of that. So anyway, the sort of upside to that, and there's always an upside to everything, was that it forced us to think differently. And so we got into this world of virtual exhibits and AVA chats and things that we do online. And I really do think that people respond to that, because there's a lot of people that can't come no matter what. They live in Australia, or they live in London, or they live in Spain, or where, and they love AVA in those countries, but you know, they just are not able to actually physically come to the museum. So it's a great opportunity for us to share what we have with the people that can't come in physically. Talking about the envelopes reminds me, we've got a new thing coming out very soon. She has an envelope full of pictures that she wrote on the outside of the envelope. Ava wrote, "My family." And every single picture in there is a picture of her corgis.
Oh.
My family.
Is that Morgan? So,
this is what I mean when I say the real Ava. I mean, that was just, you know, she was very down to earth, and that was just her family. She had her family, and then she had her corgi family.
So. Forever with her family. Yeah. No. Yeah. I do think that people respond to that aspect of her.
I think right now, just to say right now, my favorite exhibit at this point is our special collector's showcase exhibit. Because it's so unique. We've never done anything like this before. Right before the festival last October, we reached out to fans that we know of across the world that are AVA collectors. And we asked for this special 100th celebration, 100th birthday celebration, would you be willing to allow us to borrow your precious artifact? And many of them responded yes. So we have unique items in the museum right now that have never been on display before, that have never been exhibited before. They are belonging to people with these special personal collections. And for me, that is just this huge connection with our people that love Ava Gardner. We've now made that, we've got broken through the wall of being the institution, and now we're all just enjoying each other's items, you know. And I just love that these people have entrusted us, and that they're enjoying it. They wanted me to send them pictures, and we did a virtual tour of the collection and the collector's showcase, and sent that out to them so that they could kind of see it on video with their item in the exhibit case. And it's just been a really special thing for us to be involved on that level.
I love the generosity of that, because I think it is entirely in line with the woman that Ava was.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like they're connecting with her. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. And you do still have a lot of virtual options available for enjoying the museum on the site. Now, that's something kind of unusual, actually, to be able to purchase an entry into some kind of more high quality experience. Can you speak to that virtual experience that you offer a little bit more?
I think I'll let Laura answer to that, because she had a lot to do with that.
Well, again, you know, we're Linnell and the collections manager's named Beth Navarez, and she has been such a huge asset to the museum. She actually kind of I think she joined the museum in a freelance independent capacity around the same time that I joined the board. So we were the newbies, and we also hit it off really well. And we were great with Linnell, and Linnell has always been very responsive to kind of any ideas or ways that we can, you know, take the thing about being in the social media space and being a graphic designer, and the kind of my background is I want to take something to where the people are. You know, I'd love everybody in the world to be able to come to the museum, but like Linnell said, that isn't always possible. So one of my things that I wanted to achieve in my time with the museum was to try and find ways to tap into, you know, take the museum where the people are. How can we do that in a way that's manageable within limited budgets of a nonprofit, you know, museum, with finite resources and that kind of thing. So, as Linnell said earlier, the pandemic really forced our hand, and we have benefited from the challenges of that and coming through that and being more nimble and creative and flexible in how we approach our content and development of exhibits. The first kind of virtual initiative beyond revamping our website, revamping our blog, making that more robust and really tapping into topics that we had never explored before. Ava's activism, Ava's really telling the full scope of Ava's charitable background and legacy, telling more things about the inner workings of the museum and how we plan and schedule things, all of that. That was part of it. But then the first initiative we did were this series called Ava Chats, where we were able to go in and have a conversation. The majority of them are conversations between Linnell and Beth and myself, where either we take you on a virtual tour of an exhibit or we have a specific topic. Like we did a whole episode around Valentine's Day a couple years ago, where each of us took a husband and told some fun and then shared close-up photographs of artifacts. That was a live episode, so we had audience interaction. So they run the gamut. And we've just released a wonderful interview that we did in tandem with the Ava Gardner trustees, the trust, where we interviewed Debbie Mazar, who has came off of playing Ava Gardner in a great fictional show out of Spain. And we were thrilled to be able to sit down and talk with her. So these interviews run the gamut. Some of them are offered as free on our YouTube site, and some of them are paid, but limited fee, and that's a great way where we can give you an opportunity to visit the museum without having to physically be there or learn more about a specific topic. So we have all of those available on our online store. The other thing that was a wonderful idea that came to us from Beth Navarre as our collections manager was we were working on the first exhibit in which she was involved and I was also involved, and it was around Pandora and the Flying Dutchman. It was coinciding with the new Cohen release of it, and we were planning to show it, but that was the pandemic that hit us right then. So we had put all this effort into, Linnell had made some great, strategic acquisitions of some unique marketing pieces about the film. And we were doing an exhibit that was very different because of how, when we look at social media, we try to think of, well, what will resonate here? We talked about that envelope. The social media is wonderful in the fact that it gives us an opportunity to share a lot of ephemera that isn't always the most the greatest artifact to show in a museum space, right? Necessarily. It doesn't always show, you can't always appreciate it, maybe very small, maybe very, really tight, small typeface and that kind of thing. So being able to do a nice image of that on social media or on the blog, those are great artifacts to share in that space. And we have thousands of amazing pieces of ephemera from all over the world. And so, but when we were working on this Pandora exhibit, we thought, this would actually be a really great showcase to be able to share some of this ephemera. And Linnell found all of these great new pieces from other countries and acquired those to incorporate into the exhibit. So we were doing this really different exhibit. It did have some physical artifacts, a piece of jewelry, her script, some other pieces from related to the film. But Beth came to us and said, I think would you like to try a virtual exhibit? How do you feel about that? And so she pitched it to us. We talked about it and thought, well, what can we add to it? So there's some value added content that's not in the physical exhibit. So we incorporated, trailers to the film, some additional video, some other things, some other artifacts and close-ups of things where you could toggle and see it that you couldn't see in the exhibit case. So it was a wonderful learning experience for us. And in fact, our first Ava Chats was about Pandora. We did a whole deep dive about the film. So those two programs really kind of launched about the same time. And since then, as we plan exhibits, we're already thinking, in the planning stages, how will this translate us to a virtual exhibit, or will it? How can we do this? Is there a way to do an Ava Chats that's different from a virtual exhibit and make it unique? So as Linnell mentioned, for the collections showcase, we did a whole virtual exhibit of that. We did an Ava Chats that was a virtual physical tour, walking around, showing some close-up video. And that was the best way to do that. We're working on some exclusive virtual exhibits of some things that are going to do a deeper dive. And I think it's okay if I share this, Linnell, but we're working on one about Ava Gardner's personal library and some of the wonderful books that she had in her collection and things being signed by her friends or associates, people like James Baldwin, the poet Robert Graves. And we're working on doing an exhibit about that. That's a virtual exhibit that where, again, books are not always the most exciting thing for everybody. They are for me. I love them. But and excited about an inscription and stuff. But that's going to be a really unique virtual exhibit because we can really showcase and tell a deeper story than we can necessarily in a panel with text and labels, you know. So it's been really great to kind of expand the way that we think about our planning. And it's a challenge, but it's really rewarding because, again, as Linnell said, we're allowing the museum to expand, you know, it to go outside the doors, expand from Johnston County in North Carolina and go where people are and people who have been kind enough to share their artifacts with us. Some of them have not visited the museum. They're entrusting us. And yet we can do this as a tribute to them and show them how we're caring for their artifact, how we're presenting their artifact. And hopefully that will continue to foster those relationships with those same people and future people. So it's just been really great. And I'm so proud of the work that we've done to make that leap into that space.
I'm just impressed with the way that you've expanded into the virtual world. I do think the pandemic inspired a lot of people to expand their thinking as far as making that virtual element a permanent part of offerings. But I think it's really interesting the point you make about the small elements, because yes, I see, you know, that crown from the Bluebird on your social media or this beautiful, gorgeous dress. And that is going to be a draw for me. But when it gets down to it, I do want to know about our library. I do want to know about those personal photographs because that intimacy gets right to the person, which, you know, we all love the glitz. We all love the glamour, but the person is what makes that matter. That's the roots of the matter, so to speak. So before I let you go, I am so fascinated by the fact that Ava Gardner saw her museum, but did not go into her own museum.
That's right.
I mean, is it true that she just peeked in?
She didn't even peek in. She went with her sisters back in the day when we were only open limited hours. And it was the museum at the time was in the Teachridge that she had actually, her family had actually lived in when she was a child, and the first museum opened in that building, and by Tom and Lorraine Banks are the ones that got that really started. And she showed up without any appointment or anything, and they weren't open. And someone said, "Well, no problem, we'll go get a key." And she said, "It's not necessary. I know what's in there. I lived it." And I think that tells you a lot about who Ava Gardner was. She was not caught up in her celebrity. She was not caught up in her star power. She was home for a visit and thought, "Oh, maybe I'll stop by." But it didn't mean so much to her that she made a big point of having to go inside. I think she probably just enjoyed visiting the building that she had lived in. That was just who she was. A very... She's just like you and me and Laura. She was just a girl who happened to have this very glamorous job.
Right. I really think that's the best part about her is that you feel related to her, even though there's almost nothing about her, some parts of her life that we can relate to at all. So in parting, I'd like to know what both of you would like people to know about the museum as a prospective visitor in any way. Maybe start with Linnell. What do you want people to know about the Ava Gardner Museum?
I think it's important to me for people to understand what a team effort this is. I'm the executive director, but it is such a, I could not do. I have docents that have been, one of the docents have been there for 18 years. And we have another one of our docents that her mother was instrumental in starting the museum. Her name is Beth Cannon. Her mother's name is Doris Rollins Cannon. And if you've read Grabtown Girl,
yes,
you know who I'm talking about. And then our third docent also has been with us for several years. And she just stopped by one day to visit. She was had some friends in town from New York. And I was there and we started to talk. And And her friend said, oh my gosh, you should work here. You would be a great docent. And a few months later, we had an opening and I called her and said, hey, you want to come in and interview for this? And we've got lucky enough. We just have a family. And then my board of directors has been just incredibly involved. And we have an amazing collections manager who is so much a part of the team. She's not just a staff member. She is very instrumental. I would say with Laura and Beth, I have an amazing social media, I want to say more than teams, or a bigger word than team. We're just very, very lucky to have, everybody has their sort of specialties. And I want people to understand what a team effort all of this is. And we all pull together the mural, the Rose Garden, the festival. All of these things were done with the work of an incredible group of people. And I feel very, very lucky and blessed to be a part of it.
I really do feel that community flavor to it, too,
and
every aspect.
Our followers, they are amazing. We would not be here without the people that support us. And we appreciate that. Our Ava advocates, our friends from across the world, they're an amazing group.
Laura, what would you want to share?
Well, it's hard to follow that because that's so true. And not to make it all about her, but that's a testament of Linnell and her leadership and the tone that she sets and the way that she is a wonderful diplomat and manages a lot of big personalities and people with a lot of good, you know, big ideas. And she's wonderful at kind of navigating all of that, putting together what's realistic and helping see it through to fruition. So major kudos to Linnell and her leadership. I think the question was kind of what we want people to take away from the museum and kind of where, you know, what they, the kind of the overall experience of it. I love that the museum is for any level of fan. It is for a casual fan, and that lots of times there are couples that come in where one may know who Ava is and one doesn't, and they leave going, she was a really interesting person, or she was really neat. And I love that it can be, you know, it could be just like I was talking about my own experience, you know, first going in and being drawn to the flashy costumes and the things that were screen worn or screen adjacent or whatever. And then over time on revisits, and then of course getting involved with the museum, learning more about Ava, the human, the person away from the limelight, the life that she lived, the impact that she left. And any degree of fan can come into the museum and have a wonderful experience, no matter how rabid they are or just entering the fray a little bit. And I think that's wonderful. And that shows kind of the way that we try to approach the exhibits in particular, the content we develop that we pivot, you know, take from the physical museum and translate into the social space. And then the things that we do exclusively for social, you know, Kendall, you were so generous to be a participant in our Ava Memories Project.
It was an honor.
That was so wonderful. And for those who are listening who don't know that, you can go back on our social media and watch that. And we still have more that we're going to share some throughout the year because we're still celebrating Ava's 100th birthday. We're celebrating her full 100th year. With other events that we're working on. So stay tuned. We've got some things in the mix, and we'll also be having a really substantial festival again this year with some, hopefully some special guests. We're working on some things. I can't share any more now, but you have to have us back again and we'll give a we'll
right.
But we launched that project in and posted some, at least one a day, if not two, throughout the entire month, birthday month in December. And we had fans from all over the world. Like I said, Kendall was sweet enough to do it. And then people who really knew Ava, her family members, her close friends, associates. We had some people who, you know, we reached out to some of her co-stars. And it was just wonderful to hear these little snippets. We limited the time. You know, you had about a minute or two to kind of share a memory. And you could do more than one. But it was so wonderful to hear the way that Ava resonates and the way that she has impacted people and the friendships and the closeness and people. I mean, she passed away in 1990. I mean, that's a long time, and people have still remembered her and love her and think the world of her. That is kind of something you always hear no matter somebody who just met her once or somebody who was a close, intimate companion or friend. And it's been wonderful to hear that. And the museum is such a space for that, for collecting that information, for disseminating that those stories and sharing those stories and interpreting that information and contextualizing it into the wonderful collection that we've been able to amass or the things that we're able to get on loan, and just kind of seeing it all come together and be able to have these tentacles that reach, again, it's the physical museum and all the wonderful things that it has, and being in Smithfield, in her town, where you've got the her gravesite, her birthplace, places she lived and interacted, and you can be in her space. And then you can also interact with us online through our website, through our social media, continue that conversation. And it's just wonderful to see all of these, what could be disparate elements, kind of come together and work cohesively. So I hope that when people visit the museum or interact with us, they see how that work is, you know, how we try to keep a common thread and keep that work cohesive and tell this really full story of who she was. And they leave, like Linnell said at the beginning of the interview, getting really knowing who she was. And, you know, if they do that, then we've done our work and we've done it well. And they can do it whether they never step foot in the museum and they just interact with us online, or they're able to come in, or they do both.
Right. Well, I appreciate all of your passion and dedication and creativity. It is very inspiring. And I thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Well, thank you very much. We, as you can see, very much enjoy talking about Ava Gardner. So that was fun for us.
Well, and thank you for including us in your book. We're so proud of you. I know I was so excited when I heard you had done this. So everybody check it out.
Yeah, thank you.
And we're all, I can already tell you, I've got a whole other list of North Carolina sites for your second edition.
Oh,
that I
yes.
can give you, so be in touch.
That's wonderful.
But thank you so much for the work that you do and the way that you've embraced Ava and share her story. And we're always excited to meet a fellow fan.
The Ava Gardner Museum is included in my book, The Classic Film Fan USA Travel Guide, over 500 attractions for road trips and online exploration. It's available wherever you buy books online. You can find out more at watchingclassicmovies.com, where I'll also share further information about the museum. Thank you for listening. This is Kendall Kruver, Watching Classic Movies. Until next time.